We having a conversation right now that is a very big conversation and a necessary one. As I mentioned earlier, October is recognized globally as Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. It's a time for families, for communities alike, and healthcare professionals to really come together to break the silence surrounding miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant death. And I do understand that this is a very a touchy conversation and maybe upsetting to some of our listeners who may have been affected by similar experiences. So we do say that listener discretion is advised. And I mentioned earlier that according to the UNICEF, in every 1,000 babies that are delivered, 25% are stillborn. And in every 4 pregnancies, there is 1 miscarriage. Now, this particular topic is very close to home for me. Earlier this year, my wife and I went through the loss of our firstborn, Ritumetse Rankomise, our firstborn son, at 7.5 months pregnant. And he was stillborn, or as I have come to know the term, born sleeping, which is a very beautiful and endearing term. But during this time, a book was given to my wife and I to really encourage us on hope that is available after loss like that. A book that I find and I look back and think it was a very necessary book. And Nanki Robertson is the author of such a book that she wrote after her son Caleb was stillborn at 39 weeks. And she joins me this afternoon to talk about this very difficult and real topic. Nanki, it's great to be chatting to you. Welcome to Drive 3 to 6.
Thank you for having me.
Nanki, I mean, in that introduction, for me, it's so surreal to be talking about it on a platform like this. I've shared it on my social media, but now for the very first time sharing it like this and sharing bits and pieces of your story as well. At 39 weeks, you lost your boy, Caleb. And that must have been, I can put a few words, but I think you can maybe paint the picture better. Tell us a little bit more of your story outside of the little that I've said.
In 2016, I was pregnant with my second son. We named him Caleb, and he was very special, and I had a promise from God that he's going to be very special. I received a Bible verse about him that he's going to be more precious than fine gold, and I had this expectation of God is doing something, and this promise of this boy that is going to be used for God. And I was 39 weeks pregnant, and on that particular day, it was a Monday, I realized I haven't felt him move, and I touched my tummy, and my tummy felt soft, not as usual, and I knew something was wrong. And after we've been to the hospital and they did all the investigations, the gynecologist told me that there was no heartbeat.
Was this something... Was your pregnancy normal, everything running as is, or was it a quote-unquote high-risk pregnancy leading up to that?
No, my pregnancy was normal. There was no complications. There were no indications of any complications. So there were no warning signs. So this was a total shock.
Yeah. I almost imagine those hours leading up to the gynecologist confirming this, that you probably already starting to suspect it. Did that happen?
Yes, definitely. I think when I felt my tummy, I knew he wasn't alive anymore. And I think because he's part of my body, I think on a physical level, I think I knew. So while waiting for the gynecologist, I was crying all the time. and when the nursing staff tried to find his heartbeat with a Doppler, you know, they were making excuses. Oh, maybe he's hiding. Maybe let's use another Doppler. I really wanted to tell them, I know.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep on looking. I know.
Yeah. But at the same time, it must be a very difficult place to be in. That knowledge in a moment of a promise of God and kind of that wrestle between the two. That must have been difficult, trying to reconcile the idea of, but God, this is what you promised. And it seems that the future before me is looking different.
Very much so. And in my relationship with God at that point was very close. And my journey during the pregnancy, you know, we were very interacting, and I was talking to God, interacting with God. I wasn't on a good path with God. And so it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense at all.
Did you, and I mean, this is, these questions are so important for so many other people that find themselves in this place, so that they, sometimes you feel alone and you feel like this is something I'm not sure, because no one really speaks about this. So you're not sure if what you're feeling is normal or not. I mean, I remember for us, it was a place where we're uncertain of certain thoughts, but we only have each other to look at to validate that, or to reaffirm that. Did you at any point feel like you had a part to play, guilty, and wondering if this is your fault in some sort of way?
Definitely. I was concerned that my emotional state had an impact, because I was very emotional during that period, because my father was terminally ill. And I was concerned maybe I was too emotional, maybe that had an effect on the baby.
Yeah.
I also had guilt feelings because I didn't go for a cesarean section and I wanted to have a normal delivery. And if I had a cesarean section at 38 weeks, he would probably still be alive.
Sure.
And up to today, I regret not having the cesarean section. Maybe I could have prevented it.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you... I'm imagining then sharing with family. One of the things that we find is couples struggle to articulate what they go through, because this is a different type of grief, which we'll speak about in a moment. How do you articulate this to family and share this with family in that space where it's so, how can I say it? I can't even find words. How do you share this with family?
That is a tough one. Because no one else is going through what you are going through. So even if you share it with family, they cannot possibly understand what you're going through. So it is hard, because you have a sense of expectation. You have an idea of what you would like them to say, how you would like them to support you. And it always doesn't happen that way. And I've learned through my journey that If they don't go through the same thing, you cannot expect them to understand and have empathy, because it's one of those situations where you have no idea until you've been through it yourself.
You don't even realize its prevalence until you've gone through it and you move from that place of sympathy to a place of empathy. But Nanki, I mean... let's talk about the process of grief. I've always just imagined that I struggled through this, because it always felt like it was so different from grief in any other form of a family member, a job, or finances. Is grief and the process of grief, the journey of grief with losing your son, different to other types of grief? Is it?
I think it's different, because people who lost babies, they often don't give themselves permission to grieve, because they feel it's wrong to grieve, because it's not the same loss as a father or a friend or a family member. I think the process is very difficult if they do not acknowledge that it is a loss and I'm allowed to grieve. So I think it is different, but it's not supposed to be different. That's why I like to encourage other mothers and fathers to really give themselves permission, and it's okay to grieve, and you should be grieving.
Yeah, but I'm always imagining that there must have been a wrestle between you and God at this point in time, that it's kind of like the expectation is one believes that because you're full of faith, that means you immediately go back to God saying, oh Lord, you are in control, God is good all the time. But I'm imagining that quite the opposite is happening. How was your relationship with God? I think especially the day you find out, the day after when you give birth, and those few days after that.
The night we returned home after the hospital, I couldn't sleep, and I was lying in my bed just asking God, what on earth happened? What happened here? I don't understand. Please just tell me what has happened. How could this happen? I don't understand. So there the questioning and the the wrestling with God already started, and God spoke to my spirit very profoundly that evening, and he said, life on earth is merely a speckle when you compare it to eternity. And that really sustained me for a long, long time, and up to today. It gave me more eternal perspective, and we will never understand why things like this happen, but having an eternal perspective, it does help you to make peace and come to terms and come to a place of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. And having that confirmation from God himself for you and your spirit is something that really stood out. On the eve, the morning of us giving birth to our son, my wife rather, giving birth to our son, we received a box. A box that gave us so much hope, a box that really communicated so much of hope that is available on the other side. In a moment where the whole world is crumbling, in the moment where the unimaginable is happening right before you. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick moment. And when we come back from this conversation, I'll tell you more about this box and how Nunky's heart to create these boxes for families in these situations can be that moment of hope for them. He's still joining me in studio is author and founder of the Hope Box Initiative, Nunky Roberts, talking about a very significant day, Pregnant and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. That is today. Nunky, we're chatting a little bit earlier about this box that we received in hospital moments before we met our boy. Before I talk about that box, I really would love for you to share how significant that moment is when you met Caleb. And the reason I say this is because a lot of us, when we think about that moment, it's easy for us to kind of erase it and just keep moving. But for you, it was a significant moment as much as your other boys.
Yes, it was a very special moment. And I remember, I still get emotional thinking about it. Meeting him was the best and the worst thing for me.
Yeah.
It was amazing, wonderful, and the room was just filled with, it was so much peace and love, but it was so hard seeing him being so beautiful and knowing he's not alive, but it was so special spending time with him. And I always encourage other mothers to do that and fathers, because that is all you have. And you will always be sorry later for not doing more and spending more time. But that few hours I spent with him was, I will never forget that. It was holy. It was almost being in a sacred, holy space. And a friend of mine, she's a bereavement doula, Michelle. She often says if she goes in and support mothers and there's a baby born sleeping, she feels like that's the closest thing to heaven she can go. And I think that was exactly the same thing with Caleb, holding him, you know, like a mother do, see these 10 fingers touching each finger, stroking the hair. I dressed him, I held him, you know, everything that a mother usually do.
It was no different to any of the other boys.
No, I think it was even more special because you knew it was the first and the last time.
Sure. It's quite something then. Living in a world where people don't know how to relate with you with that. Couples don't share so much about the experiences. People don't know what to say. Because they can't relate to this grief. I think you refer to it as invisible grief. Because they haven't experienced this at all. What do you say to society and families in terms of how they create space for couples and families that go through this and are faced by the reality of the loss of their little one?
I would say to family and friends that even though it is a child not yet born, the loss is still very significant. It's still a loss of a child. It is not less than that. And for a woman, it's losing part of your body. It's like losing a limb.
Sure.
And it's even more than that. It's part of your soul. It's part of your personality. It's part of your identity. So I would really emphasize to family and friends how significant the loss of a baby is. I know we spoke about this earlier, but it's also a loss of a future. It's a loss of how you see your future as a family.
Because you've envisioned a whole life.
Definitely. I mean, even the age gaps between my sons. I know it sounds so simple, but I mean, the age gap, having two boys closer together, you've lost that. But that is not so significant. But I'm just saying
that it's significant
so many
to you.
Losses.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my wife and I, we were calculating that our little boy over Christmas would be 6 months and kind of on his feet. And, you know, it really speaks to the loss of that future of what you envision, no matter how big or small that moment is. But Nanki, I think I want to come back to the box, and I'm running out of time. I feel like there's never enough time in the world to be able to turn such devastating pain, life-shattering pain, into something that gives hope to so many parents. I received this box. I still have it. That had this, it had a mug, had a candle, it had a bath salts, and a nice chocolate, had a journal, it had a letter that was put together by you and a team of people that might have helped you decorate the box to give hope. It had a little teddy bear that was there, and it had your book, which is how I got to find out about the work you're doing. But I'm imagining, how do you move from such a heartbreaking place to be able to form something that is life-giving to so many different people that you never get to meet, because this was stored at the hospital for us?
Yeah, the only way I can explain it is, I think the day I made myself available to God and say, use me, I want to help. I think that's the only prerequisite. Anyone can do that. The rest is God. The idea, the process of that, the opening of doors, the provision, everything else is God. You are just a vessel. So I think just saying yes to God, then He can use you in a way you would never imagine.
Mm. And He's able to really turn, as the scripture thinks, all things to work together. I know in the book you speak about, I'm already late, and I'm just, if you're on the road and you're waiting for news at 5, it's going to be late. I know in the book you speak about the anxiety and the struggle with the next pregnancy, because of all the worry and the stress and the fear and the concern about so many different things. But you eventually had another child after Caleb. And I say this with a smile on my face, because I think that must have been such a, after the full pregnancy of worry and stress, and seeing your little boy afterwards, it just brings so much joy and the fulfillment of God's promise and His faithfulness still.
Yes, I had another son. His name is Uzziah, and he is a ray of sunshine. He has so much joy, and it's almost like God gave him to me just to bring joy. And he has almost, he was the cherry on the top, you know, he was just such a blessing from God.
Yeah. There's parents that are listening now. They're going through this. They've just been through this. They've just found out that they've had a miscarriage. They, a few weeks ago, found out that their baby was born sleeping. And they're navigating, trying to figure out what to do. And they're struggling between their faith and their feelings, their grief, and a society that doesn't understand. What do you say to them?
I say to them that what you're going through is very hard, and you're allowed to grieve. You're allowed to take time for yourself to grieve. You need to take care of yourself. You need to find support. You need to spend time alone to grieve. But most of all, go to God. Tell Him every little thing you're feeling. That is the only way you can heal from this. He's the only one who can make this thing better. The only one who can heal you. The only one who can turn this thing into something beautiful.
And surely he's done it with Caleb.
For sure.
With what he's been able to do through your life. Nanki, as we wrap up our time, support is very important. Your book was like the support group. I didn't know I need it. Where can people find the support if they need it, if they're struggling through it, if they're just in a place where it's just difficult?
You can go to my Facebook page, the Hope Box Initiative, but you can also go to Empty Wombs. That's the support group where I'm linked to. And you can find us on Facebook and send me a message and reach out. And I love interacting and communicating with people. So please reach out.
Yeah. Anki, thank you.
Such a pleasure.
The many other parents who will never get to say thank you to you. I know you put yourself a number there to say reach out to you on WhatsApp, but not all of them will get to say thank you. And on my family's behalf and many others, I'm so grateful for the work you do and for allowing God to really turn what was something so devastating to be something of a blessing to so many people. And truly, Caleb's legacy will live on much further than I think any of us could imagine. So thank you.
Thank you.
If you want to get more details on the support groups that Nanki has mentioned, or get more details on how to plug into the community, pop me a message on the WhatsApp line with support. I'll send you all those details. And if you find yourself in a place where you're struggling through this and you just feel like you need to speak to someone, let me know. Pop me a message on the WhatsApp line with the word support. And we'll be able to reach out to you and send you all those details, that you might be reminded that even though it feels so alone, you're not alone. But there's a support community that's there to stand with you. And more importantly, that God is able to see you and heal you, even in the most painful of places.